Hey everybody, welcome back to Be Better Tomorrow. My name is Jason Fisher, your host, helping you on a journey to improve and be better tomorrow than you are today. I'm going to be straight with you this morning. I've gotten over a nasty flu, probably the nastiest I've had in years. In fact, as far as I can remember, it feels about like COVID level was. I couldn't breathe, couldn't smell or taste anything. So I dropped like 10 pounds, which is good. Dropped some weight and not the way I wanted to, just had no appetite for anything. But I'm a little bit behind now in show production. I luckily had a two show buffer built in the beginning of my schedule, and it's gone. So I'm recording this the week before it's going to go live. Hopefully it still goes well. I'm going to get a few episodes in the can, things I've been thinking about while I've been laid up sick, not really able to do anything else. Also got a little bit of improved equipment, so hopefully the sound you're hearing is a little bit better than you've heard in the past, hopefully muffling some of the background noise in the room, although dealing with a massive storm front right now. So you may hear some wind and thunder. I'm not sure. And if you do, I apologize. I'll do my best to catch it in post. One more piece of business I want to cover before jumping into our listener letter for the week. A young man named Alex has been listening with his dad in the car, as I understand. And so I just want to say, hey, Alex, how you doing? I appreciate you listening. I hope you're getting something out of this. And I hope that you're able to be better tomorrow than you are today. If I'd started when I was your age, I don't know where I would be today, but I'd be a lot further along. So I hope this is beneficial to you. And I just want to say, hi, Alex. Thanks for listening. Okay, now we'll get to our listener letter for the week. Dear Jason, I hope this message finds you well. I'm a faithful listener to the podcast, and I must say your segment on AI was both enlightening and thought-provoking. The way you broke down the potential uses and benefits for personal development was fascinating. However, it sparked a specific question in my mind that I hope you might delve into in a future episode. Considering the significant role AI is starting to play in our lives, from simplifying tasks to potentially enhancing our learning processes, how do you foresee the balance between leveraging AI for personal growth while ensuring we don't become overly reliant on it to the point that it hinders our ability to think critically and solve problems independently? I'm particularly interested in your thoughts on this potential for AI to become a crutch that would potentially stunt personal development and creativity, problem solving, emotional intelligence. How do we draw the line or create a balance to use a tool for improvement without losing the essence of what it means to be uniquely human in our journey? Wow, that's a question probably above my pay grade, but I will take a stab at it. I think right now we're at a point where AI is best used as a crutch, as a tool, really for getting the little menial things done in life. For example, you're looking to write a document for work. Maybe it's a document type you've never done before, you don't have a good example of. It's simple to ask AI to give you a sample document, give it some information, the information that you have basically, and get you a starting point. Then you have the ability to read through that document, correct it, and make sure that it aligns to what your company is actually looking for. Obviously, make it specific. AI right now isn't quite good enough to get to the point where it can do all of that work itself. Now, I will confess that the beta we're dealing with Copilot, which is Microsoft's AI, where it has access to our SharePoint, our emails, our Teams conversations, and really anything in the Microsoft universe, it does a little bit better job at this. In fact, recently I was talking through with a friend on how we were going to gather up some information about various teams, and I said, you know what, I'll bet Copilot would do this really well. If we ask it like what these teams do, what their various tasks are, it's out there somewhere. They've got a document somewhere in SharePoint or documents that they've written for presentations. I'll bet it can go gather all that information for us. And you know what? With a little bit of prompt tweaking, it was able to do a really good job and get us, 90% of the way that we needed to go without us spending hours digging through all that documentation. One of the areas that I'm yet to really play with, but I think is most beneficial, is in like data analysis. AI has the ability and the tools to dig in and understand data better than we do as human beings, faster than we do as human beings. Something I've been looking at playing with is kind of an input-output program where I want to record and log, kind of like my Fitbit. I use the Fitbit program for tracking, my steps, my workouts, my food log. Well, I want to be able to put all that information in, and then also put in, hey, here's the level of the psoriasis I'm dealing with at the moment. So if I'm having a flare-up, what happened a few days ago? Did I eat something? Did I not get exercise? Is it barometric pressure? I don't know. I would love to be able to put in all sorts of variables that then machine learning algorithms or AI can go look at and go, oh, here's what it is. Or if you want to get your best sleep, you have your best sleep on nights when you don't have coffee after 2, or just these little things where we don't think, there's so many variables that we can't consider all of them. It would be lovely to have an AI or an algorithm put that all together and figure that out for us. As far as your question, I think we're at the point now where it's not quite there, but it could get there very easily. So ironically, what I'm going to be talking about in the rest of this episode is kind of a touch and grass, being human, being in the moment kind of situation that I've been dealing with, and about loneliness. So I think as long as we're continuing to be intentional about doing those things, AI is a tool that helps us to get there. Eventually, I suppose there's going to be some ethical quandaries. Obviously, I'm worried about the future of AI, what kind of jobs will be available, and what kind of jobs won't be available. They're already starting to put artificial intelligences inside of robot bodies. So how soon till these bodies are lifelike enough that all sorts of jobs that we think now that are human touch based, for nursing, cosmetology, things along those lines that I'm thinking right now, AI can't touch. But how long is it till that machine is able to do that? And does it create the iRobot world where we all have our own robot servants, or does it create the T2 world where we are all slaves to the machine? That's the great question. I really don't know that I have the capability to answer, but it's one I'm going to be continuing to discuss, at least in my own head, as we move forward. So I hope that helps everybody think a little bit more about artificial intelligence and how it operates, and it helps you to find a way to be better tomorrow. All right, everybody. The main topic I wanted to talk about this week has to do with the loneliness epidemic. I think you've probably heard that phrase if you've been paying attention at all, especially ever since COVID. We've all been dealing with a little bit of loneliness. Surveys that I was able to find, particularly on CNN, said 24% of people 15 and older say self-reported feeling lonely or very lonely at some point in the last week. Now, we're all working remote, although a lot of jobs are heading back to in-person. But there's also been a decrease I've noticed in civic organizations, fraternal organizations. There's a drop-off in church attendance. These places where we used to go to have, I'm going to use the term forced interaction, although my buddy Dale will yell at me and say that's not the best term for it. Regular interaction with people. Those places where you met with people you wouldn't meet with on a normal basis, people that were outside of your demographics, outside of your socioeconomic circles maybe, or outside of your intelligence, maybe even outside of your political spectrum, all of those organizations have been dropping off. Now, I'm not sure why. Like, my dad grew up, or when I grew up, my dad worked at the Elks Club, which I knew was like the Moose Lodge, the Elks Club, the Eagles. There's all those fraternal organizations, but they've all dropped off since their peak, some up to 44%. Young people just aren't joining things anymore. They're not joining churches. They're not joining the Shriners. They're not joining a lot of civic organizations. What I think, at least here in Columbus, we've got a great tech organization. So what we often see is people joining organizations that have to do with work. And young people, it seems to me, more and more are trying to get work to replace some of those civic organizations. Young people want their job. And when I say young, I mean people younger than I am. So I guess that's Gen X, Gen Z folks. They come in and they want the office to be their social outlet. They want the office to be their civic outlet. This is where we go and volunteer. I want the company to give money to the organizations that I would support. I'm still looking into why this is. I'm not quite sure if anyone's done the research to figure it out. It just seems that being online gives us the opportunity to be more personalized in our interactions with people. We'll join groups on Facebook of people that are just like us. No matter how weird or esoteric your beliefs are, there's a group of people, probably thousands deep, that share those same interests. So that allows us, no matter how unique or esoteric our hobbies or interests are, it allows us to find a group of people that share those hobbies and interests, which is great. There's people who, liked a particular, train model that they probably didn't find a lot of people that had interest in, but now they're able to find a group that loves that same train model. I think it has its pros and cons, though, because you used to be forced into a bit of a group where, so maybe you were that train enthusiast. I don't know. I've been watching Big Bang Theory recently. So if you're that train enthusiast and you like this one particular train, but nobody else does, and they don't carry it at your hobby store, well then, yeah, you're going to be alone, but it's also going to force you to interact with other people in that circle. They're going to have similar interests that you can get involved in. And maybe maybe it forces you then to be involved in what is the more popular thing in that group and draws you into that group in society. I just don't see people conforming nearly as much, and I mean that in a positive way. Where in the past, you'd conform to the ideals around you a little bit, and it had a good way of moderating us from being extreme. I feel like there's a lot more extremists now. Maybe it's because I live online a little bit more than I should, but it feels like people with these extreme crazy views have the support of a community that they probably shouldn't. Whereas if it was just, you know, there's no internet and it's you in a small town, you might voice those views around a few people and they would knock those edges off. Like, that's crazy. Here's why. You'd have conversations with people that disagree. These are the people you have to live with because you work in this area, you live in this area, you shop in this area, you go to church in this area, whatever. These are the people that you grew up with. It has its pros and cons. And I think maybe we've swung too much in the wrong direction as far as being able to isolate ourselves and find people that align exactly to what we're looking for. You know, that's a bit of a bunny trail from where I meant to get to. Dealing with loneliness, I hear people ask a lot online and in person, like, how do you make friends as an adult? And here's the magic formula that I've come up with. It's time plus shared experience equals relationship. The issue I bunny trailed on is we don't have as much of that shared experience because we don't spend time investing in those relationships and we don't go places regularly anymore. Like I said, Tech Columbus has a great community. People get together all the time, but it's hundreds of people. If you don't know, I've been to those places and I didn't know anybody. Maybe I knew one person and it still feels just as intimidating. But I don't take a shot because I'm going to mention Toastmasters. One of the reasons I go to Toastmasters is because I met several people in this club a long time ago and we clicked. And now I came back knowing that I would know a few people and I would get to know others. But because I'm regularly attending this meeting, and I'm opening myself up, because when you give speeches, you're talking about yourself, you're giving people insight into who you are, I'm hearing that same thing from other people, I'm understanding who they are, what their dreams and desires are, what their fears are, you really get to know people. Plus, we go out to eat afterwards a lot of cases, so you just sit down, have drinks, have dinner, talk to people, get to know them. But that time and shared experience builds relationships. I'm a church guy. I've been a church guy for the last 25 years. I'm not just because I go and attend. I'm a Bible-believing Christian kind of guy. But one of the things that's always frustrated me is when you move from one place to another, from church to church, you tend to lose those relationships. And I thought for a long time that was a bug in the system. The reality I'm starting to understand is it's not a bug. It's a feature. It's that forced interaction. You're there every week. You're going to run into these people, whether you intend to or not, because they're there, you know, regularly worshiping with you. And so before service, after service, you're mingling, or you might show up for a volunteer event together and you've got no one else to talk to. And this is before we all sit on our headphones. You just talk to people about whatever was going on in their lives and get to know them. Well, then you see them the next week. I just went to a conference where I met a few guys just for our church. And then that next Sunday, I saw, oh, here's this guy that I just met. Let me say hello again. Let me reintroduce myself. Let me ask him about the thing that we talked about. Now I'm making a connection. I'm going to see him next week and the week after and the week after. It's that repetitive interaction plus time. It's going to eventually equal up relationship. If you want to make friends, you just have to show up. Find some organization out there that matches what you're looking to do. There, go to meetup.com. There's other websites out there, I'm sure, but Meetup used to be the biggest, where there's young professionals that go hiking, or there's mountain bike groups. Like, I joined the Central Ohio Mountain Bike Organization because I want to get in their group rides and go meet people who also feel the way I do about the sport and want to, you know, help me get better, and I want to help them get better. We want to get to know each other. I want to build a network of friends that I've got some sort of relationship with on a regular basis. I want to help make sure that even though I'm working from home, living at home, I'm not getting into some isolation space. And I think a lot of us are dealing with that, trying to understand how to be friends in a world that's culture's changing so rapidly. And again, talking about AI in the last week's episode, it's going to have more opportunities where you're not going to have to talk to a real person. You're going to be able to just talk to an AI and it's going to seem real, but without proper programming, that AI is never going to knock off your edges. It's never going to challenge you the way you need to be challenged to develop these social relationships and learn how to be a decent human being. Maybe that's part of the ethics that John asked about in his letter. How do we continue to build human relationships? And I think it has to be done through intention. one of the ways I think everybody can get better is finding those locations where they fit in. I have the Cheers theme song running in my head, right? For those of you who are old enough to remember that. A place where everybody knows your name. They may not know your deepest, darkest secrets. That's fine. But when you go to this place, you're known, you're getting to know people, you're building those relationships. When you lose your job and you need a connection, these are the places you're going to go. These are the networks that are going to be there for you. You may be able to do it online, but with algorithms, it's so easy to just miss everything online or don't show up on Facebook for a few weeks the algorithm pushes you away so you don't actually get to talk to the real human beings that you know. Whereas in person, if we're constantly reaching out, we're constantly making touch points, talking to people, having lunches, that starts to chip away at that loneliness. This is one of the things that, as I've talked about before, dealing with my depression, one of the things that really, really needed to focus on for me was getting out and meeting people in person. So I created an Airtable customer relationship database, basically, where I reach out to my friends regularly. It reminds me on certain days to reach out to people and say hello, text. So if you get a random text from me, that's why. But it's not because I just, you know, needed to check off a list. It's because you're somebody in my family or of friends or that I wanted to make contact with and make sure that I'm having communication with because you're important to me. If we're going out to get lunch, it's because you're important to me. You're going to make me leave the house and actually pay for food. This is something I'll probably end up diving into more in future episodes. It's something I'm really kind of passionate about. I love building community in figuring out why things work the way they do and how we can be better at it. I mean, I want to talk about liminal spaces we haven't really gotten into. Where are those spaces people can just go hang out without paying money for it? And where are those community centers that those things happen in? There's tons of stuff happening out there where people are trying to bring this back around. And I don't have time to discuss it now, but it's something I'd like to discuss in the future. So if you're listening and you've enjoyed this show, here's what I'm going to ask. Share it with a friend. Post it on Facebook, Twitter, wherever your social media is. Just help me get the word out there because I want to help as many people as possible improve what they're doing. I want to help as many people as possible be better tomorrow than they are today. Until then, this is Jason Fisher, and I hope you found something in this show that'll help you be better tomorrow. Be Better Tomorrow is released under a Creative Commons 3.0 share alike attribution license, which means you can use this show or clips of it for anything you like as long as you give us credit and you aren't doing it for commercial purposes. The music you're hearing now is by Kevin MacLeod of InComTech, also released under Creative Commons share alike license. All the information about this show and others can be found at bebettertomorrow.com, and I hope, as always, you'll find something to help you be better tomorrow.